One of the things that I wanted us to think about this morning is it's very easy to be thankful when good things happen to you. In fact, when nice things happen, we know we ought to be thankful. And even in those cases, sometimes we forget. Over in Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, and starting with verse 12, says, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they?" But one of the things I want to think about for this morning, and it's that psalm that we had read in Psalm 30. In that psalm, David contemplates other times when we might not think about being thankful to God. And again, we really should consider giving thanks to God. In Psalms 30, if you go back to that passage, in Psalms 30, we're just going to look at verse 1 to 3 for the moment. "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought my soul up from Sheol. You kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit." David declares that I will exalt God. That phrase actually means I'm going to lift up God, because he's lifted me up. David apparently had become ill, and he thought he was near death, but God healed him. Of course, God is the source of healing, not just physical healings, but spiritual ones as well. Take a look at James. James chapter 5 and verse 14. "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Do we often think that when... And all of us have faced really hard times, difficult times. Do we remember when that storm passed to thank God who brought us through it? In Psalm 30 again, and in verse 4, Psalm 30, starting with verse 4. It says, "Sing praises to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." David declares he's going to sing praises to the Lord. And he encourages all followers of God to do the same. After all, we all sin. And as a result, all of us at times in our lives are chastened by God. Take a look at what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when ye are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Even in times when I make mistakes and I've sinned, and things just come crashing down because of my sins, I should be appreciative of it. But oh, while it's happening, it doesn't feel that way. Perhaps not at the time of punishment. But go back to Psalms 30. Look again at verse 5. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Amen. Weeping may last for the night, but joy, a shout of joy, comes in the morning. It is the change that I can appreciate, the change in me. The punishment is not fun. But if I can see the fact that I'm a different person as a result, that I have become someone better as a result, then I can appreciate that. In fact, take a look again at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, and this time at verse 10. For they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's what we need to be appreciative of. It's not fun to go through it, but I need to appreciate the fact that it made me a better person. You see, God is not like you and I. Too often we keep the fires of our anger burning. And sometimes it consumes our friendships. Sometimes we ourselves become the fuel, and our own anger consumes us. God's anger is for a moment, and we need to learn that same lesson. To let go of the problems of the past. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 26. Ephesians 4 and verse 26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. That's tough sometimes, but it means letting go. Don't let it last past the day. Problems do happen. People do hurt us. But we can't let our anger drive us to do sinful things or keep that anger. Instead, we need to be thankful that God keeps us in line. He improves us. But he also releases us from those sins. And notice also David said his favor lasts for a lifetime. When God forgives, He takes us back and is permanent. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. Where it says, for the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is for God's sake. Not that we deserve it or that we earned it, but this is God's righteousness being displayed. There's another time, though, David says we need to be thankful. Going back to Psalms 30, and starting with verse 6. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Even when nothing is going wrong, there's a danger that I might begin to think that it's because of my accomplishments that I am having such a good time. Look at what I've done. And we forget the fact that we only have the things that we have because God supported us all that way. There are times when God leaves the prideful to face life on his own in order to see how much he really needs God. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 12 that we need to keep in mind. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 15. Then he said to them, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Come, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now to who will own what you have prepared? So it is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What profit is there in life if we have everything that we need and we don't have God? Take a look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Life is for being thankful, for praising God. David basically says, what value has my life been if I go down into the pit and I can't praise God? That's the lesson Hezekiah learned. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38, and in verse 18, "For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. It is the living who gives you thanks to you, as I do today. A father tells his sons about your faithfulness. The Lord will surely save me. So we will play my songs and string instruments all the days of our lives at the house of the Lord." Do we live life in praise of God? God's done so much for us. Do we think about Him in our despair and give thanks to Him? Do we think about Him when I've done wrong and being punished and still give thanks to Him? Do I think about Him when I'm being distracted by the world? And I think I'm doing so well on my own. In Psalms 30, and in verse 10, "Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned me from my mourning, my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." He doesn't leave us in despair, or in sin, or in self-destructive behavior. God is life-changing. And for who He is, we offer our thanks for Him for all eternity. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like to pray as your brother on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.